Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to this month's Binge Coaching Call. I am so excited to be here with you all today. I am Jane Pilger, guest coach here in NoBS. Also, some of you may know me as Corinne's bestie. I am also I have my own private practice where I work specifically with people on binge eating. And I come to you guys every month to have a call where we talk all about binging. And that is what we are going to do today. So the way this call is going to work, I'm going to talk to you guys for just a few minutes in the beginning about leveling up. What does it look like to level up as someone who binges sometimes? What does that look like? And I'm going to give you guys just some tips, some suggestions, and then we're going to open it up for coaching. So as I am going through this, if you guys have any questions at all, feel free to type them into the Q&A. Also, we will be doing live coaching on this call. So if you have any requests, you want to be coached live, go ahead and raise your little Zoom hand and we will call on people. The only thing I ask is that it is specifically related to binging, feeling out of control with food, something like that. We want to just keep it on that topic. But otherwise, anything is game. So as far as it relates to leveling up, what does it look like to level up as someone who binges? And I just wanted to talk about, I've got three ideas for you, but before I even go into the practical leveling up, what can I do to level up? I want to just explain something. So when we do something new, you might hear in NoBS, you might hear a lot of suggestions. Try this, do this thing, try this method. There are a lot of experimentation, which is amazing. Now, here's what we have to be really careful of is we need to make sure that you are always doing something that is kind of in the sweet spot for change. And what I mean by that, the sweet spot for change for anyone, whether you relate to somebody that binges or not, the sweet spot for change is going to be something that pushes you out of your comfort zone just a bit. Now, we don't want to be pushing you so far out of your comfort zone that it doesn't feel safe, that feels like it might feel threatening to you or to your body in some way. So I am the author of the Trusting Your Body course within NoBS. If you are new to NoBS and you are still working your way through the initial NoBS weight loss program, that is absolutely the place where you want to start. But if you have graduated and you have gone through that program and you are looking for something else, binging is something that you do. I highly recommend that you check out the Trusting Your Body course. Within that course, I talk a lot about the nervous system and how you can understand your nervous system and how the nervous system works, specifically as it relates sometimes to our reactions around food. Now, what that means in terms of leveling up, in terms of how we want to change, is you want to be in a place where your nervous system, it might feel a little nervous. It might be a little, ooh, I don't know if I could do this, but I'm willing to try. I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to experiment. But if there is something that is suggested to you that feels like it doesn't feel so safe. It feels when you hear the idea, a suggestion of, hey, why don't you try XYZ? And you get kind of an internal reaction that almost feels like a tightening in your body, the only way I can describe it is through this audible, like when you kind of like almost want to take a breath in, right? And you feel a little constricted inside your chest. That might be a signal for you that it's maybe a little, we're trying to level up a little too far. So when we level up anywhere in any of our journeys, we want to, in order to change, we do need to get outside of our comfort zone. We do need to do something different, and we need to do it with a mindset of, I am doing this to change. I am doing this to grow, to learn something new. But our nervous systems will only let us push that kind of boundary so far. Some of us may have a little bit more sensitive of a nervous system. Something that I might be able to experiment with and try may not be as available for somebody else. So this is where it's very important in your own journey to let your body and your own reactions guide you, where you're not comparing yourself to what you see somebody else doing within the membership. Because we're all on our own individual journeys here. And it's really important that you honor where you are and what your body is telling you. So if somebody is trying a method or doing something and it feels like, ooh, I don't know if I could do that, or you try it, let's say you try something and you end up binging, it may be that maybe you were trying to level up a little too much. Maybe your nervous system wasn't quite ready for it. Or it could be something else. It's a great thing. If this happens to you, take it to ask coaches. The coaches will be able to help you discern what your next best step will be. Okay. So I wanted to just give you that background. And then I want to give you three ways that you, as somebody who binges sometimes, can level up. Okay. Three ways. Number one is pressing pause. You can commit to pressing pause when you have an urge to binge, when you have an urge to overeat. If you commit to pressing pause, let's say for 5 minutes. All right, I'm going to press pause for 5 minutes. What does it look like to press pause? When you press pause, it doesn't mean that you just sit there and think about food for 5 minutes straight, because all that's going to do is really compound what's going on. What we want to do is we want to just give ourselves a little bit of space. So like, okay, I'm having this really intense urge right now. I am going to press pause and I'm going to do something else for 5 minutes. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm just going to give myself some space. So maybe I will just send this email real quick. Maybe I will go. I'm sure most of us have something on our to-do list that we could do in 5 minutes. Now, this isn't to distract. We're not trying to just distract ourselves away from it. What we're trying to do is we're giving ourselves a little bit of time for the thinking brain, our prefrontal cortex, to come into the conversation. So when the prefrontal cortex can come into the conversation, 5 minutes from now, I come in and I'm like, okay, do I still want to eat? If I do, I can. I have permission to eat. But if I'm going to eat, I need to know why. So yes, I can always eat, always with permission, right? I love the concept of pausing with permission. So you always have permission to eat, but let's just know why. So many of us, we just go straight for the food. We don't pause. Sometimes we don't even give ourselves permission. It's like, no, you shouldn't be doing it. You shouldn't be hungry. You're not, whatever. And we just kind of bypass ourselves. So if we're going to eat, let's give ourselves 5 minutes. Let's bring the thinking brain back on board. Let's let ourselves kind of get past that initial, oh my gosh, like I have to eat right now, right this second. Then we're going to come back and say, all right, like, do I still want to eat? If I do, I can, but let me just understand why. That's all I need to know. I need to know the answer. Why am I eating right now? So many of us don't even know the reason. So just know your reason. Make sure you write it down. Then you have something amazing to work on. You can journal. You can take it to ask coaches. There, you can bring it to a coaching call. You have so many things that you can do with this information. Many of us just don't pause and we don't know why. It's like, I don't know. I just ate. Okay. So that's one way you can level up, pause and ask why. Number two is going to be, how quickly can you get back on track? So a lot of times, especially with binging, if we have a binge, it's like, oh my gosh, I've ruined everything. You know, I've lost all my progress. We make it mean such a big deal. Once I start, I just can't stop. And then we kind of get ourselves stuck in the pattern. If you are the type of person who says, you know, I do okay for a while and that, but once I binge, if I binge, then I'm binging for like 3 weeks straight. I'm binging for 3 days straight. I can't get myself out of the cycle. This is where leveling up can be really amazing, is how quickly can you move on? Now, we always want to learn from our binges, always. We want to comprehend them, understand them. How does this make sense? What did I really need at the time? What do I learn from this? And then we move on. Once we understand it, once we know what our needs were, once we learned from it, then we move on. Moving on is powerful. So that is a way that you can level up. Make sure you understand it, you assess your needs, you learn, you move on. Okay. Third way you can level up is in your self-talk, how you talk to yourself. And I don't care when this is, how you talk to yourself when you have that urge, when you are asking yourself if you can press pause for 5 minutes, when you, while you are eating in the middle of a binge, how you are talking to yourself after a binge, how you are talking to yourself. You can level up so significantly by changing the way that you talk to yourself. So those are three ways, three very practical ways that you can level up. And then just know, as you are making your own decisions in terms of things you want to try, things you want to experiment with, make sure it feels like, ooh, like that could be a little challenging, but it's not so far out of your comfort zone that it feels scary or unsafe, or it makes you want to just turn straight to the food or just rebel. Or if you think like there's no way I could do that, then don't do that. We don't ever want you doing anything that goes against what your body and your overall nervous system is trying to tell you. It's always trying to keep you safe. So we want to make sure that you do this in a way where you are keeping yourself safe while also changing your patterns, the way that you're responding to everything, the way that you're talking to yourself. So the three things that I suggested are all ways that you can still be changing while also talking to yourself in a really kind way, pausing, making sure you know your reason. Those types of things are the things that are going to help you to level up in this process. Okay. All right. So let's see what questions we have here. Raise your hand if you would like coaching. Cindy asks, how much weight did you lose and do you still binge? Do you identify as a binger? I do not identify as a binger. I do not weigh myself anymore. I have not been on a scale in a very, very long time, but I will tell you this. I have weighed, I'm going to guess, I can guess probably what I weigh, but I honestly don't know. I have weighed probably at least 20 to 25 pounds less than I do right now. I have weighed, probably 35 to 40 pounds more than I do right now. So I have been all over the place. And I know that even when I was at my very lowest weight, I wasn't particularly happy. It wasn't enough. When I was at my highest weight, it wasn't enough. So for me, I have come to very, very much understand and believe that the number on the scale is not, like, that's not what is that number. I don't know that I would ever be like satisfied with that number. And so I don't weigh myself. Do I still binge? I will say this. There are occasions where I eat in ways that I don't prefer to. Would I call it a binge? Maybe. But I just don't like, I don't identify as a binger anymore. There are times, the way that I see a binge as lights on the dashboard. So when you binge, when you show up with food in the way that you don't want to, it means something else is going on under the hood. So there are still times where I show up with food in ways that I don't, that don't really feel like true to who I am and who, what I want for myself. When that happens, I will tell you what I am so good at is diagnosing, looking under the hood, figuring out how it makes sense, addressing my needs and learning from it and moving on. So that's, you know, really where I am. Okay. Faith asks, how do I stop the, I've already binged. I should finish the junk foods off so I can have a fresh start tomorrow mindset. I'm going to answer this question in just a second. Somebody else asked if they're in the right place, if they're not a binge eater, but they are an overeater. Yes. What we talk about here will absolutely apply if you're an overeater and not a binge eater. A lot of the concepts are the same, but sometimes for people who binge, the binging is A lot of times a hallmark with a binge is this sense of feeling out of control around food or unable to stop. So, but yes, if you are listening and you don't identify as a binge eater, you will still get a lot of value from this call. So many of the concepts and the things we talk about will apply in both cases. Okay, so back to the question of how do I stop if I've already binged? I should finish the junk foods off so I can have a fresh start tomorrow mindset. So the first thing I will say is you have awareness, which you have that you have this mindset of I've already binged. I should finish it off so I can start fresh tomorrow. So number one, we can't change anything that we're not aware of. So it's amazing that you can see and you are aware of this mindset. So then we have to question it. We have to question, is it really true that by eating all the junk foods, I am starting fresh tomorrow? What isn't true about that? If I keep eating, am I really fresh tomorrow? What else could be true? What if So we want to identify it, then we want to start questioning it. We want to start poking holes into the theory that I'm going to have a fresh start tomorrow. My guess is you've probably repeated this to yourself many, many, many times before. And so you know it doesn't really equal a fresh start. The analogy that I love to think about with this, because sometimes in our minds with food, it's like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The analogy that I love to think about is if you got one flat tire, would you get out of the car and flatten the other three tires? No, nobody would. It would take a lot more time to now change the all four flat tires when before we only had to change one. It's very similar with our binging. It's going to be a lot easier for our body to recover from a binge if we stop eating before we go finish off all the other foods we think we need to. So sometimes if I can just remember, like, this is like a flat tire. I have one flat tire. If I keep eating all these other foods, it would be like me intentionally creating a flat in the other three. It's going to take me that much longer for my body to recover and for everything else. So that's a visual that I like to just remind myself, oh yeah, this really isn't logical. When our brain says it, it sounds logical. But what we want to do is identify what are the things that our brain tries to tell us that inside before we actually write it down, it makes sense in the moment. But once we write it down, once we start talking about it with a coach or with somebody else, we can see it's not that logical. Then we can spot it. We can question it. We can remind ourselves, ah, this is flat tires. If I keep eating the rest of the food in the house, I am literally creating my own three more flat tires. I don't need to do that. I can just change this one tire and move on. This is part of leveling up. Okay, let's do some coaching, shall we? All right, Lee or Leah, you'll have to tell me which way to pronounce your name. We are bringing her on. Okay. I think she's coming. Here she comes. If you want to turn on your video and your audio. Hello. Can't hear you. You're on mute.
Sorry. I pressed it twice. I'm sorry.
How do I pronounce your name?
Leia.
Thank you. All right.
Like Princess Leia from
Star Wars. Okay. Yes, got it.
You've probably seen me all over Facebook. I'm pretty active in the group. I rearranged every schedule to be here. So this is like my brave moment. My husband came home early from work to take care of the kids. And I am present. So a few things. I identify a binge eater, but I don't want to identify as a binge eater. I probably have been on a binge restrict cycle my entire life. And I actually found you through my new BS bestie who told me there's this fabulous woman, blah, blah, blah. Listen to her podcast. I listened to your podcast and she said, why don't you join No BS? Because then you can have the best of both worlds. So that was how I got here. So I have questions about forbidden foods. So I was taking the Trust Your Body course, mm-hmm. and one of the do goals was to add forbidden foods every day.
Okay.
So I don't know quite how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I usually, like, my ideal eater, like if I want to, like, my future you eater or whatever, is somebody who is neutral around food, okay. eats mostly healthy food, which I enjoy, like, you know, sincerely enjoy, and has different treats through the week here and there.
Okay.
That's my goal.
Okay.
The problem is that I am not eating the forbidden foods daily or whatever. I don't know if I'm scared of them or if I'm just not, they're snack foods. I don't really snack. So okay. I'll eat, you know, a quote proper meal, but that's what I want to eat. Not because I think I should, just because that's, I'm eating a salad and a sandwich or whatever. And then there are these things like pretzels or crackers or cereal, and it just doesn't have a place really. Mm. So I'm not eating them. But mm-hmm. then when I binge, they all come to the party.
Okay.
It's sleeves of crackers. It's six bowls of cereal. It's all these things. Okay. So I'm wondering if there is a way to incorporate them in a way that feels real to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a way that I want to be eating, but not in a way that these are binge foods or these are, you know, I don't know.
Great question. So first of all, we will give you lots of acknowledgement and kudos for being here, for raising your hand, for being brave, for rearranging your schedule, all amazing things. And I do want to get to the question about forbidden foods. And I think this is such a valuable topic for everybody listening. But I have a question for you first, and it okay. is around not wanting to identify as a binge eater. And I think this also will, a lot of people will relate to, but tell me why you don't want to identify as a binge eater or somebody who binges sometimes.
I don't want to give it so much weight.
Okay.
Because I've like spent so much of my life being like, this is like my tagline. If I didn't binge, I would be the perfect weight. My regular food is great. My regular eating is great. My enough is great. My, you know, but every... depends on what's going on in my life, but every once in a while I'm binging and I'm not able to, you know, lose a weight or maintain the weight, whatever it is. So I don't want to be that. I want to be a different type of eater.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay. But right now, I mean, can we agree that right now you are somebody who binges sometimes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So it's important to, I mean, I get it. Like I 1000% I get not wanting to be somebody who binges, not wanting to be a binge eater. But I will tell all of you, you have probably heard this phrase before, but it's so true. What you resist persists. So resisting, I don't want that to be who I am. I don't want to be somebody who binges, but I am. We're resisting ourselves. And then it persists, right? It's like, in, you even said, I don't want it to have so much weight. I don't want this to be such a big thing in my life. But right now it is. And there is, like, I mean, you just said, like, I had to move a lot of things around. I had to do all of this just to get here and just to be here. So there's this thing where it's like, we want to give it enough attention. We need to mm-hmm. accept this is where I am right now. And I am also working to become somebody who doesn't binge anymore, who doesn't need to binge anymore. But for right now, this is where I am. And this is what is true and real for me. Because if we're resisting it, if we're like, I don't want to be that person, we're literally pushing, we're rejecting. Literally what happens is we're rejecting a part of ourselves. So there is a part of you that needs right now, that needs to binge sometimes. And that part, it's like, ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't want that. Like, I'm just going to go put her in the closet and we're just going to exile her because she is not welcome here. She is not allowed. But if you think about a lot of times, the part of us that wants to binge is like this young part of us, right? And so I think about the young version of myself who learned, who figured out to go sit in the pantry and eat brown sugar when I needed to feel better. And when I think like that's how for me it started. And when I reject that part of me that wants to go eat when I'm feeling all kinds of things or things feel out of sorts or unsafe or whatever it is, if I'm rejecting that part of me, what I'm rejecting is like this very young part of me who just is trying to feel better. Mm-hmm. So it's just important to know there is a very good reason for you wanting to binge sometimes. And there is this part that sometimes need to binge. And so what I love to do is really try to get to know that part, try to figure that part out, like with really looking at the needs and accepting that, yes, right now there is this part of me that binges sometimes. And I am working really hard to figure out how I can take care of that part in such a way that she won't need to binge anymore. So this is the difference. This is where we get to where it's like we can then be ready and willing to let go of the binging rather than feeling like we're fighting it all of the time. Because when we're fighting the binge, when we're fighting the part of us that wants to binge, that feels like they need to binge, it's just, again, what we resist persists. So then it's just bigger and it makes it so much harder because we don't like that part of us, what we make it mean when we do binge. And for those of you that don't binge, I mean, even overeating, right? Like there is a very good reason why we do all of it. So I just wanted to touch on that part first, because if you can't, if you don't get to the place where, yeah, this is where I am right now, and I'm learning new ways and new approaches and new concepts, talking about the forbidden foods and like, you know, coming up with a plan to like reintroduce some foods and that type of thing will not go very far if you take into it this mentality of, I don't want to be somebody who binges. I don't like the binging. I don't like this part of me.
Right.
So what we can do is we can separate. I don't like the way I feel when I do it. I don't even love that I do it, but it is a part of my life right now. And there's a reason for it. And I'm working to understand it. I'm working to come up with new approaches and new concepts and new things I can experiment with. But this is part of what I'm experiencing. So I'm going to do everything that I can to support myself through it. It's kind of like if you were to break your foot and like just hate that you broke your foot and just be like, you know, resisting and trying to like, you know, push through it. There's so many other things you could do to support yourself through healing just in a much gentler way.
Right.
Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So forbidden foods. Tell me this, when you think about, it sounds like you have a little bit of an idea of kind of who you want to be in the future as an eater.
Yeah.
Tell me about this future you as an eater, specifically as it relates to the foods that you find yourself binging on now. The crackers and the pretzels and the cereal.
So I want to be somebody who can eat a regular amount of any of those things at some point, if for whatever reason I want to, without having to eat all of it or mm-hmm. lots of it. Mm-hmm. I want neutrality. That's really what I want.
Yeah. So do you see that you have crackers in the pantry and sometimes you have them with lunch. Sometimes you have them for a snack. Like, do you have kind of a clear?
I don't usually have them.
So, but this is what I'm asking the difference between.
Oh, in the future.
Yes. In the future.
I don't know where they go in the future either.
Okay. Which makes, yes. And so this makes sense where why it's hard for you to imagine now, because it's hard for you to imagine in the future too, right? The brain, here's what's fascinating about the brain. The brain, we need to give the brain a very clear picture of where we're going, a clear picture of what this version of you looks like in the future. If we don't give the brain a very clear picture of where we're going, it's just going to repeat the past. our brains are not like creative. They don't just come up with things. I mean, they are creative, but they can be creative when we put them to work on the creativity. Then we have to reinforce by visualizing, by really thinking about that future version. Otherwise, we're just going to keep recreating. Here's the other thing that's really important to know about the brain. The brain doesn't hear in negatives. So when we say, I don't want to eat all of the crackers, the brain can't really picture what that looks like. The brain is just picturing eating sleeves of crackers. So when we think, I don't want to do this, the brain doesn't hear the don't part. It's like, oh, crackers, cereal, like all the things.
I want to take a portion of these foods and not take more.
Okay.
Like just have one portion and just that's it.
And be satisfied.
Cereal. I can't eat cereal for breakfast. It's not good for my blood sugar. Like it makes me very tired. Uh-huh. I love cereal and I've never figured out where to put cereal because I don't snack. And it's that's my Achilles heel. I've never had one bowl of cereal in my life. It's usually 3, 4. And like, you know, my accountability, she knows, like if I start with I shouldn't say this, but if I start with the cereal, or it's like, that's it. That's the binge. It starts with the cereal. It starts with cake, but if I go to the cereal, that's a binge already.
So here's what's really important to know. You've already decided ahead of time. Cereal's my Achilles heel. I've never done it before. Like I just know, even like if I go to the box, that's it. Binge over. Like I'm eating all of it. Right. This is what we have to change is the narrative. Now.
Okay.
So, but here's what's interesting. You're like, I can't have it for breakfast. It's terrible for my blood sugar, but I can have a whole box later.
Right.
This is what we have to think about, right? Right. Like it's the logical part of my brain is like, no, I can't do that. But, you know, when I'm not in the logical part of my brain, I'm eating the entire box because I love cereal. Here's what we're hearing. You actually really enjoy cereal, but you're not giving yourself permission to enjoy cereal unless you're eating the entire box. So for you, and this is like with forbidden foods, for you, I would literally start with cereal. Okay. And we need to change the story that it's your Achilles heel, that you can't have, you know, that it's a binge, no matter when you start. Now you can experiment. I love experimenting. Experimenting is just figuring out different times of day. Like I used to think I can only have, you know, certain foods at certain times of day. What you might do is experiment with a bowl of cereal. Like, all right, I am going to prove to myself that I can have one bowl of cereal and I'm going to play with it. I might have it. I'm going to plan for it. One bowl every day. Now I know for my blood sugar, it might be better in terms of like overall how my blood sugar and my body responds. It may be better if I pair it with something else that maybe has some protein or something to balance out my blood sugar more so that I can, you know, kind of balance that aspect of it. But I'm going to experiment every single day. I'm going to try different times a day. Maybe I have it with breakfast. Maybe I have a small bowl after lunch. Maybe I have it. I mean, if snacking for you is like you prefer not to snack, I mean, we're not even going to get into the snacking conversation, but experiment with what feels good for you and times that you can experiment with. What we need to do is give yourself permission to eat cereal because you like it, you love it, but you're not giving yourself permission unless it's a binge. So it's this idea of like, if you literally plan it every single day, then it's going to become much less forbidden, much less, what's the word I'm looking for? I've totally lost the word.
On a pedestal.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. Now I
think it's also more the time. I put it on my plan and then I'm like, wait, but I'm having lunch. That's not cereal time. I'm having a sandwich or I'm having supper. So that's protein and, you know, like that's where I get like in my head. It's like, where do these foods go? So I just don't do them.
So you experiment, you figure it out. Okay. Like I'm going to try. The only way we know where foods go, the only way we know where we like foods and where we don't like foods is to experiment. But okay. If we're experimenting with the lens of, I can't control myself, once I start, I can't stop, that is different. So what your experiment is going to be, I am going to prove to myself that I can eat cereal one bowl at a time. And I'm going to experiment with all the different ways until I figure it out. Mm-hmm. Right. So then that becomes my goal. This whole experiment is, how do I figure out how to eat cereal one bowl at a time? Because I really like it. I want to be able to eat a bowl of cereal.
And do I want to be planning these kinds of foods all like continuously, just so that they don't become these exciting things? That's where I'm like weird about.
So, that's my recommendation. I don't recommend that you like plan cereal and crackers and like all the things all at once. Start with one thing. Like, let's literally become cereal. Like, this is just a cereal plan. We plan a bowl of cereal every single day. Plan it at different times. Do it in different combos. Have just become literally a cereal connoisseur. And with the cereal, like, then as you eat it, get really curious. What do I even like about this? What do I love about the cereal? Do I like the first bite as much as I like the fifth bite? What kind of cereals do I like? Is it the crunchiness? Is it the flavor of the milk? Is it what is like, right. I would want you to be able to give me a dissertation on cereal where, you know, this is the cereal. After your cereal experiment, you will literally know, this is the cereal I love. This is the cereal that I'm like, I thought I liked this stuff, and now I don't even like it. Like, make sure that what you're eating, you really, really enjoy. If you start eating cereal and you're like, I don't even like this, then you're done. You just stop.
Right.
Like, I'll plan a different, like, I'm going to try again tomorrow, or maybe I'll try a different cereal tomorrow, or it's time and you're like, I don't even want cereal. Don't force yourself to eat cereal, but normalize eating cereal, make it a cereal experiment. And I can guarantee you, everyone listening to this call is going to want to know all about the cereal musings.
Cereal adventures.
Yes. Leia's cereal adventures. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. All right.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, we are going to put you back to attendee. There was a great question in the Q&A that I'm going to answer while we pick Cheryl. Cheryl is coming up. I'm going to promote. Let's see. I think Leia's going back. She's not back yet, but there she goes. All right, Cheryl is coming on. And while Cheryl comes up, I'm going to answer this question. What specific questions do you ask yourself about why you want to eat when you know it was not hunger? I love this question. What do I think the food is going to do for me? Now, if I'm asking, if I'm asking the question of like beforehand, like why, like the whole, like, okay, I can eat, but let me understand why. I love the question. What do I think this food is going to do for me? Or if you're looking at it retrospectively, what did I think the food was going to do for me? So that's a great question. Also, just what do I really need right now? Am I looking for the food to solve a need? Okay. Lisa asks the three level ups. Yes. So the three level ups that we talked about, number one, pause with permission, and then ask why. Know why you are eating. If you decide to eat, know why. Okay. That's number one. Number two Number three is your self-talk. And number two was move on. So after a binge, you want to understand it. So my acronym for after a binge is CALM, C-A-L-M. C is comprehend with compassion. Understand, how does this make sense? So we understand, how does it make sense that I just binged? Comprehend with compassion. A, assess and address. What did I really need? L, learn the lesson. M is move on. So the level up is moving on. C-A-L-M, comprehend with compassion, assess and address, learn the lesson, and move on. So the level up, the three level ups, pause and ask why, move on. And then the third one is your self-talk, the way that you talk to yourself, leveling up, being kinder to yourself as you're talking to yourself at any stage in the process. Okay, Miss Cheryl.
Hello.
Hello.
Excuse the mess, but I was working on a quilt top and it was like this call came up. It's like I stopped everything. I've got a machine over here and one back there. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's a mess. I was on one of your calls about a year ago, maybe. And I was binging a lot at night after my husband went to sleep. And we've talked about that. And I can honestly say there's only been one or two times in the last year that I have binged at night when everyone's gone to bed, because that was always my, I'm alone time. And I've kind of conquered that part of it. But I found that I've replaced that with when I'm in cooking, or even when I'm in helping cook, because I don't necessarily, because most of the time I hide out here in the quilt studio, so I let somebody else in the family cook. But I will go in and start helping cook, and I start eating everything in sight as we're cooking. It's like, you know, it could be something as simple as hamburgers, and I'll pull a tub of cottage cheese out and I'll just start eating the cottage cheese. It's like, and my brain, you know, is sitting here saying, stop, stop. And I'm just shoveling it in. And then it's like, oh gosh, now I don't want to eat dinner. Mm-hmm. I just ate all this junk food. Now I don't want to eat what I'm sitting here cooking for everybody or helping cook. And, you know, but it's like, how do you get that stop in your head to actually go from here to close the mouth, put the food down, and just.
Well, a couple of questions for you. What does the stop, like when you notice, I have like three, there's three different places that there are three different places that my brain wants to go with you. Let me ask you just quickly. Sure. The evening where you kind of got past the binging at night when he went to bed, and you said you got past that, you know, kind of, and then the, but if you were to tell me very succinctly, how did you get past the binging at night when he was in bed?
For the longest time when I was binging, it would be after my husband went to sleep at night, my kids were all in bed. You know, I have adult children that live at home and the house is quiet and I tend to stay up later than most everybody in the house. And so I would just get out of bed and go in the kitchen and start eating anything I found.
And how did you stop? How did you stop doing that?
I had a very long, couple week long conversation with my husband every night when we would go to bed. Mm-hmm. It would be, and I still do this. I use the Calm app on my phone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I literally say out loud, I promise to myself, I am not going to get out of bed to eat something. The only thing that's worth getting out of bed is to go potty. Okay. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. So, got it. Now tell me this, when you say that you hide out in the quilt room when, yes, in general, when somebody else is cooking the dinner.
Right.
What is the reason? Are you hiding? What are you hiding from?
Well, I sort of noticed, actually, it was my husband and my daughter. She's a traveling nurse, so she only comes home once in a while. She's been home for the last 2 weeks, and she even noticed it was, why are you eating while you're cooking? I thought that was one of your BLT things. And it's like, oh, it is. And so we sat down, you know, me and my daughter and my husband sat down. And so it was my husband's suggestion that I let someone else cook and they would let me know when dinner's almost done, but not finished. And that I would go in and help them finish the meal and call me out if I start eating. So far that's working, but I feel like, I almost feel like I'm being a child being reprimanded if I want to eat something, and I don't want to feel that way.
Right. And well, you're also reprimanding yourself by right. when you notice it's happening, it's like, stop, you know, it's kind of like you're kind of like pointing the finger at yourself. So tell me this, is this only happening at night with dinner? Tell me about the other times during the day that you eat. Is there this same kind of thing?
No, it's only, I happen to really enjoy my protein shakes for breakfast.
Okay.
Because it really, it makes me feel good. And I happen to like them. Okay. And so that's what I do for breakfast, because mm-hmm. I blend it with ice cubes okay. and make it like a milkshake. But I'm, you know, lunch, it's on my plan, whatever I've written on my plan, I go into the kitchen, I make, because I work at home, I make that lunch. And most of the time it's just a sandwich. Once in a while it's leftovers. And I don't seem to have that. I don't have that urge, even though I know I'm hungry, because I've already, I've been working on really identifying that. Am I really hungry? Because breakfast, I don't even think about it. I make my coffee and I make my protein drink. And then I come out here to the quilt studio to work. And then during my breaks and stuff like that, I work on the quilts, you know, but
and lunch when you're making lunch, you're not really like, you know, picking at the food. It's mostly dinner. Okay.
No,
okay.
And so I go in quickly, make my sandwich, make whatever it is I've planned, and get back out here, because I can spend the rest of my lunchtime working on sewing something or working on another project. My daughter keeps me very busy with that. So I've always got something going on. But it's dinner time. It even when I know, just hurry up and cook dinner, you can go back out, you know, you can finish one of, you know, whatever it is I'm working on for my daughter, whatever. I just can't seem to, my brain is sitting here telling me, you don't really need it, you don't need it, you don't need it. But I'm just, I don't
Got it.
Want
Got
to
it.
Be called out as a little kid. But at the same time, I really need to stop and just concentrate on cooking dinner.
Yeah. You okay.
know, I need so, a new okay. mantra in my head.
Yeah. Well, I think there's probably a couple of things going on here. Have you, first question that I have you gone through the Trusting Your Body program?
I'm about halfway through it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. One of the things that I'm thinking, just based on what I'm hearing from you, it is very possible that number one, you're nervous. I would be very curious for you. I would highly suggest for you to get really curious about your nervous system and about the state of your nervous system. And in general, and do what I think could be amazing for you is before you go to dinner, to do, whether you do a meditation, maybe you do a body scan, you do maybe some tapping, something from the toolbox inside the Trusting Your Body course that will help you to bring your nervous system closer to home base. It is possible that when you go, you are kind of activated, you have some excess energy in your overall nervous system. I'm also wondering if there's not some overall just sense where you maybe don't feel very safe around foods and maybe trusting of yourself just in what you've described in this short period of time. So that's something that, you know, you could certainly, there would be some more kind of layers to dig into there. But to start with, I would say, go through the Trusting Your Body course, get really curious about your nervous system and see if you can identify the state of your nervous system before you go to dinner, and really work to get yourself, even before you go out, get yourself to a nice, calm, grounded place. I also, for everybody, I don't love the idea. And this is where you have to figure out what works for you. Right. I know Corinne talks about, you know, having Chris like, you know, help her, like, you know, if she's made a decision around food, and she will have Chris, you know, like help her to keep her decisions or whatever. I don't do that. Like, I don't want anybody telling me what to eat, much less myself. So, it sounds to me like you said, I don't want to be treated like a child.
Right.
Now, it was a very well-intended thing with your husband and with your daughter. Of course, they want the best for you. Of course, you want the best for yourself. So it makes sense that you kind of gave them permission to, hey, if you see me doing this, like you have permission to call me out. But you're now you're like, ew, I don't really like the way that that feels. Right. So what that means now is let's come up with another plan, another strategy. Now, when you go out there, you are probably also telling yourself like, you shouldn't do that. This is bad. This is wrong. So as soon as you start, then you feel like a kid who's doing a bad thing, who's doing the wrong thing, which is part of why you used to binge when everybody went to bed, because then nobody would see you doing this very bad, very wrong thing. Exactly. Right. So what I want to know is, do you want to eat these foods while you're standing up before dinner?
No, that's, I don't want to, you know?
Yeah. So what we can do, there's a very big difference between really knowing what we truly want for ourselves and like, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to eat that way. You're not supposed to be doing that, right? One of them feels very judgy. And the other one is like, no, this is really what I want for myself. This is where we come into level up number three, how you talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. So how you talk to yourself when you go into the kitchen and you start noting yourself wanting to start to eat the food that's on the counter, or wanting to go into the kitchen, or go into the fridge and like pull out the cottage cheese. This is where we're going to come up with a new conversation with yourself. So it might be like, I love the question. And I got this from, Brooke Castillo. It's like, what's the matter, love? Like, oh, I see you're doing this thing again. Remember, like, what else is going on? You may be able to ask yourself like, why, what's going on? Or, oh, there it is. Like, I love to get aware. Awareness, we can't change what we're not aware of. So number one, we want to become aware. Oh, look, I'm trying to go into the fridge. Ooh, I see myself like wanting to get this thing. Then we can say, once we're aware, then we get to decide. So we can decide ahead of time, what do you want the conversation to sound like? You're going to go for the food. You're going to go out there. You're going to see the food. Your brain's going to be like, this is where we get to eat all the things. Let's get it all in now. So what would you like that conversation to sound like? That would be gentle and kind and acknowledging, yeah, you really do. Like, there is a part of you that wants to eat all this food, but there's also this part that doesn't. What might that sound like?
Well, as you were talking, I just kind of in my head thought, well, you know, if I just ask myself, can this just go with dinner? Can you just put it in a small bowl and have it with dinner instead of having it before dinner? Because I've really never given myself that option. It's always been, you know, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. You know, it's always been a negative thing. And it's always been like talking to a child. Yes. And yes, you're right. I did give them, you know, it doesn't feel good.
Yes.
You know, the way it's coming.
Yes.
But if I start asking myself, instead of just saying, no, don't do this, if I just start saying, okay, if you want this cottage cheese or you want this half a piece of whatever, have it with dinner, not instead of.
Yes.
And knowing me, if I get it to the table, I'm going to go, that doesn't really go with what I really wanted for dinner. So we're just going to not have it, you know?
Yes.
But I've got to get to that point, you know?
Yes.
And it's being aware of that. And even if I've already had a few bites, stop. Do you want any more?
I would love for you to not use the word stop with yourself. I just think stop is like it, and you are going to have to check in to see how this feels, but try pause.
Pause.
Let's just pause, right? Stop feels power. It feels forceful, like stop. You know, it's kind of like, put that hand out, like put that finger rag, you're doing a bad thing, right? And I like the pause, like, let's just pause. You can have this if you want it. Let's just have it at the dinner table, right? So we're not going again, we're not rebelling against anything. That part of you that does want to eat these foods, we let her be there, but we don't let her run the show.
Right.
It's just like that young part, right, that we were talking about with Leia. We let that young part be there, but she's not making the decision. She's not driving the show. We want to give pause, gives enough time for our logical brain to come back on board, and our logical brain can make the decision. But if we don't treat that small child like they're loved, no matter what they eat, no matter what they do, they're going to either rebel, they're going to go hide, they're going to eat the food anyway, and we're not going to be there to have the conversation to let them know you can have more cereal tomorrow. Like, we're not taking the cereal away. Yes, you can have this food. Let's just take it to the table.
Right.
So both parties are coming to the table. The logical adult part and the little kid who thinks they have to eat it now or it's going to get taken away. We want to bring both to the table, and we can do that with pause. We can do it with permission. We can do it the way we talk to ourselves. Talk to yourself like you would a small child.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I like it much better, because just saying pause in my head doesn't feel so pointy.
Yeah. Exactly. Harsh and pointy.
Thank you so much.
And then here's what I recommend with your husband and with your daughter is just let them know, I know that I said that you could call me out on it, but I'm really just realizing it doesn't feel good. It kind of feels like you're judging me. I'm judging myself. Like, I'm going to try this different approach, and then just have a conversation with them in terms of what you, and let's just experiment. Like, let's try something else. Or whatever, right? And keep them involved in the conversation because they want the best for you.
Yes, yes.
So of course they want the best for you. Just experiment with different ways of talking to each other, doing it, however, you know, whatever feels right, you know, and kind of comfortable to you, but experimenting, all of you, as you are trying different things, as you are leveling up, as you are having new conversations with yourself, as you are pausing, giving yourself permission, really checking in with who is this like younger part of me that really wants to eat? Can I bring her to the table while also being the adult and making the decision with my logical brain? Like, how can we do all of that together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And they're both open to helping with anything. So
that's so great.
Thank you so much.
So great that you have a great support system. All right. Thank you, Cheryl. We're going to put you back as an attendee. Okay, we have one. We're going to answer one more question and wrap it up for the day. Denise says, I keep remembering binging episodes from years ago, and they seem to be as if they were yesterday. How do I get past these feelings? They are happening more and more. It's the calm process. So let me just recap the calm process. Comprehend with compassion. How does it make sense? How does it make sense that I binged? There is always a very good reason. A, assess and address, what were my needs? L, learn the lesson. M, move on. It is likely, Denise, that if you're still feeling like the feelings of these binges and it feels like it was just yesterday, it sounds like you're probably in shame and judgment. Here's the problem with shame and judgment. Shame and judgment keep us binging. We want to hide. What happens when we want to hide? We want to get away from ourselves. We can't get away from ourselves. So what do? The only thing we know how, which is to binge. It's like, that's how we disconnect from ourselves. With judgment, we just think we're wrong and we're bad and we're terrible. And again, what happens when somebody else is judging us? We want to get as far away from them as possible, but we can't get away from ourselves except for when we binge, because that's how we disconnect from ourselves. So if your binges are happening more and more, it is very likely that you are in shame and judgment. So the first thing we need to do is remove shame and judgment, put it on the shelf. The way we do that is by shifting to compassion and curiosity. Compassion is treating yourself so kindly, like you would a small child, and then being curious, asking questions. How does it make sense? What could I do differently? Getting curious, bringing that compassion and that curiosity is going to allow you to understand what's happening, to come up with new ideas, new experiments, new ways of leveling up. But if you're in shame and judgment, you'll keep yourself in that cycle. All right, you guys, I loved spending this hour with you. There is a Facebook group specifically for binge support. It is called the Binge Support Subgroup. So Coach Christy will put a link in the chat and also in the notes for this call. Be sure to join that if you haven't already. And I will see you guys on next month's call. All right, bye.